Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this January the 22nd on the West Coast, January the 23rd on the East Coast, and in the Central Time Zone. We'd like to welcome all those listening in on BBSRadio.com, as well as on BlogTalkRadio.com, and around the world on Windtalkers Radio Network. Got a great show for you tonight. Before we invite tonight's guest on board as my co-host, which he has been for the past 2.5 years now, actually a little over 2.5 years, looking at the news today, it seems through the alternative media that everyone is pretty much singing the same lyrics to the song about Haiti and the events that have occurred there. Certainly, we see it as a coup, as a takeover of the Haitian Central Bank. We see a lot of advanced technologies being used, and some of these, by the way, go back over 100 years. When you talk about Nikola Tesla's technology, which has been basically bastardized and adapted to weapons of massive destruction around the world. Currently, Haiti is the victim of the wrath of those that want to rule the world with an iron fist. And we are also certain that there's a lot of spin going on, too, in regard to this story. Somehow, to refer to the long-legged Mac Daddy in Washington, D.C. as a Kenyan-born individual, it's just more spin. There's nothing to support that other than bogus photographs, bogus documents, and lies, as is the case in the Hawaii story. We've been over that 1,000 times in the past year and a half, so we're not going to waste time on that, other than to mention that somehow when all these facts come out to lend some credibility to some outrageous statements, one continues with more outrageous statements that seem to be the more popular arguments today. What we do know from various sources is that there has been a secret agreement in writing to turn over the government of the United States to Nancy Pelosi, who has already agreed to sign it over to Hillary Clinton. You want to talk about desperation. That woman couldn't get votes enough to get her out of a wet paper sack, and they have to resort to more corruption. Well, with that, I'm going to invite tonight's guest on board. He is a scientist, inventor, author, lecturer, teacher, and my good friend, and hopefully yours now, scientist, inventor, Jim Murray. Jim, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you, Don. How are you this evening?
I'm in rare form tonight. What can I say?
That's a good thing. Your opening remarks were interesting.
They were? Which ones?
Well, I mean, in the sense that they, you know, they disclose more about what's actually going on.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing to me that the public is still duped as usual.
Well, yes, you know, they're asking for money. Okay, you've got Bill Clinton and George W. Bush on TV begging for money to be sent to them. You've got Michelle Obama on TV asking everybody to send $10 to the Red Cross, which has been proven some years ago to be quite fraudulent and underhanded in their dealings. So everybody's looking for these avenues to kickstart the stalled derivative hedge fund market. And this is the whole reason why they're in Haiti. It's just a coup. There are 11,000 soldiers over there that are basically just marching the streets. They're not to the extent of the knowledge that I've been given from people that have actually seen what's going on there and not what mainstream has shown us. They're not rescuing people. They're certainly not handing out supplies. They were sent there basically empty-handed. And that's not at all an affront on the soldiers. They're there for another reason than they were told. And that's quite clear. It's evident to many other journalists and investigators. So I'm not alone in that thinking. And you may even agree with me.
Oh, I do. I do agree with you. I mean, I think that the whole thing is a sham. Everybody who's taken the time to look into it knows why they have done what they did. You know, the usurpation of the Bank of Haiti, you know, with the banking codes that are available there, with all of the transatlantic and other cables that go to South America and Europe and God only knows where else, is all at their disposal from that nexus. And the interesting thing, though, and this is something I was starting to mention to you off the air. Okay, so now they've done this. Well, the rest of the world knows exactly what has happened. The only people that don't seem to know anything, as usual, are those of us in the U.S. So, regardless of what they do, it seems to me that they're just digging their own graves with a teaspoon. They take a little longer, but the same ending is going to happen.
Yeah, don't you find it ironic that that there's advanced technology available that could certainly solve a lot of the problems of the world, but their obsession with controlling everything has stymied that. Yet they're using these advanced technologies to be destructive. It's definitely pathological. There's no doubt about that. There's a psychopathy at work here that just seems to feed off of itself, becoming darker and darker as the days and minutes go by.
Well, what else can evil do?
Mm-hmm. And
as far as your other remark is concerned, it's very telling that they've got this technology because, first of all, they deny everything. The chances are that they've got only God knows how much more technology. After all, they've had billions and billions of dollars at their disposal for the last 160 years. It wouldn't surprise me if they have almost anything that you can imagine. But the interesting thing is, you know, by doing this, they're actually admitting to the world that they have this stuff. Maybe not to the U.S., but to everybody else. And so the next question is, well, what else is out there? You know, what else do they have? You know, now everything that has been poo-hooed and put down by, you know, by U.S. propaganda suddenly becomes fair game.
Yeah.
You know, these actions are not well thought out. This is a mark of desperation on their part, in my opinion. And it'll actually do more harm to their cause than good in the long run.
Well, you're right, and I agree. You know, a parasite can only leech off of a host for so long, and the host has no more life force. And they are actually leeching off of themselves, off their own parasitic reality. It never ceases to amaze me how they outdo themselves. And it's not just this technology that's being used to create earthquakes or destruction. I mean, they're calling it an earthquake, but we don't see all the particular evidence that goes along with an earthquake. For instance, this 2/3 of the island where Haiti sits, to the east of Haiti, the other 2/3 of the island make up the Dominican Republic, which has not suffered at all from this. And the roads themselves. Now, you want to talk about displacement of energy. They're saying that this earthquake took place 6 miles underneath the surface of the earth, and yet the roads, which are the nearest to the surface, didn't suffer at all. No fissures, no cracks in the ground. Explain that, Jim, how that occurs in the physics of an earthquake. A 7.3 initially, they said, and then it was downgraded to a 7.0 with an aftershock yesterday of 6.0, 8 days later. It doesn't add up. I'm waiting for the crash dummies to show up. And the swamp gas.
Oh, well, I'm sure that's there already. You always have swamp gas. But anyway, you know, it's a very amazing thing. And, of course, you know, anybody that's even got a glimmer of intelligence realizes the whole Haiti and Dominican Republic as one landmass is not that big. How do you have an earthquake that only selects, you know, the western side or the eastern side to manifest itself? It kind of reminds me of the old joke that they used to have in engineering school about designing a stick that only has one end. You know, how do you have an earthquake that's one-sided? You know, normally it affects everything on the entire tectonic plate.
Yeah, the scientific facts aren't adding up, are they?
Well, not in my opinion, but of course my knowledge is limited. You know, there might be one-sided earthquakes. Who knows?
Well, I was discussing this issue on last night's show with Ken Adachi, and we brought up some other quakes that occurred recently. The 1987 quake that was known as the Loma Prieta quake, San Francisco and Oakland Bay Area, during the third game of the World Series, which was taking place at Candlestick Park in San Francisco. And you had a lot of damage. There was damage to the roads, but the damage was a construction of a two-tiered highway system called the Nimitz Freeway that was on the eastern side of San Francisco Bay along the Oakland area. And about a mile of that upper level gave way and crashed down on the lower level. But there were no fissures in the ground during that earthquake. And that quake was felt from San Diego all the way up to Washington State. I'd heard of people up in the Seattle area feeling it. That was a 7.0. How is it that even the 2/3 of the island where this quake supposedly occurred didn't feel that or didn't suffer any damage? How is that? How is that possible?
Well, it isn't, unless it's not an earthquake.
Yeah.
Of the traditional variety. It would be interesting to figure out exactly what it is that they're doing. That's kind of difficult without any data. But I am very familiar with Tesla's suggested method of achieving this, and it doesn't have the same earmarks as what's occurring or has occurred. So my guess is that it's it's either a nuclear device of some sort, or perhaps it's something that makes use of a directed force, similar to what might have occurred in the World Trade Center.
Mm-hmm.
It could be any number of things. But here's the thing that's interesting. I was reading articles the other day that says that on account of the unleashing of this technology in Haiti, that now the rest of the world is examining all the other recent calamities that didn't seem to make sense. Even the earthquake that started the tsunami a couple of years ago that wreaked so much havoc. And the earthquake in China, and the earthquake in Turkey. All these different places suddenly become suspect, you know, as to whether or not they were traditional quakes or not.
Mm-hmm. Well, there seems to be a recurring theme of a lack of fissures in the ground, which are an earmark, especially in a slip-fault quake, like what they claim the quakes are in California. And I experienced two major quakes. And at that time, they were having an average of 3,000 quakes a year in California. Of course, many of them were very mild, but there were times where you could be driving down the freeway and all of a sudden it felt like all your tires went flat. That's the sensation that you feel in an earthquake when you're driving. Now, standing is a totally different thing. And there seems to be a big jolt and then a lot of rumbling. I recall the first major quake that I experienced was the Whittier quake in 1987. And the first, let's say, shaking of the ground lasted about 45 seconds. Then there was an aftershock an hour to an hour and a half later. That was in the range of 6. That first quake was 6.5. The aftershock, I think, was 6 or 6.1, something like that. It wasn't as drastic, but it actually caused more damage. Yet there were no fissures in the ground. Those things that you see in the movies all the time, okay, when they really want to make it look devastating and everybody's falling into the cracks that open up in the ground. There was a movie some years ago that came out called Earthquake, where it did exactly that. You know, the ground opens up and swallows up all the pedestrians and people driving down the streets and coming out of the stores. So we don't have these natural events, at least as they're portrayed in Hollywood or as they're portrayed historically. You have these major fault lines that are working their way up to the surface, and there's no cracking going on. It stinks of probably a scalar weapon of some sort, and or some nuclear device, as the tsunami in Indonesia was preceded by what many perceived as a major explosion in the ocean. I wouldn't put it past them. And there's a lot of symbology behind what they did. I wrote about that in my Three Stooges Go to Washington article. That was a major portion of what I had written about on the basis of things that seemed to be too coincidental. Dates and sacrifices and those sorts of things. And in every case where we've had a major exposure of a financial crime, it's preceded the next day by a false flag event. We had this in 9/11. The day before, Donald Rumsfeld was telling Congress that they had lost $2.3 trillion. Do you know how much money that is, what that looks like stacked up on pallets? it's ridiculous. It's a ridiculous statement to make that, and the next day to have 9/11 and say that the two events are not connected. And then the day before this quake, on January 11th, the Chinese exercised their option to move on a lien that was placed in December. I believe it was December 16th of 2009. They took out a $47 trillion lien against the United States, specifically the Federal Reserve and the U.S. Treasury, but not exclusively. That's where you direct it, of course. And the next day, we had... Now they exercised this lien on January 11th. On the 12th, Haiti gets struck by an earthquake. Haiti happens to be the hub of the banking cables, as you mentioned. I think we talked about that last week as well.
Yes, we did.
Yes. So it's not adding up as they're telling the story. And what are they asking people to do to fix this problem? Send money.
Send money.
And whose hands does it go into? The crooks that are stealing all the money now. It's quite simple.
You can bet that the Haitian people will never see it.
Oh, yeah, that's certain. We're hearing that supplies are being sent there and taken out and disappearing somewhere. They don't know where they're going. They make sure they show on the media a few tents pitched on a hill and... you know, we're supposed to presume that everybody now is being taken care of. And I can assure you that that's not the case. So, in light of all the talks on consciousness that we've had and technology and all of this, look at how consciousness is being applied, Jim, and universal law. And look at how they're applying technology. When they have the power to do good, they choose to be destructive instead.
Well, I don't know what to say, you know, because it's so against my whole being and everything I've tried to stand for during my life that it just leaves me awestruck and confused, you know. I can't really get a hook into why anyone would want the planet to be in such condition. And the idiocy of it is that even if they were to succeed and somehow get their grip on the entire globe, how long could they hold on to it? I mean, even if they were 100% successful in establishing their new world order, everything is so fouled up. You know, how long is this so-called order going to persist? Okay, you might have a few pockets of the elite hanging around here and there. Maybe they'd be the last to go, even. But if things really get bad, we're all going to go. It isn't going to be... a situation that they're going to escape from. And the thing that's really amazing to me is, let's assume that we use our imaginations and it actually turns out in their favor. Well, for the first time, they're going to be in charge of nothing. Who's going to do all the grunt work? Who are they going to steal from? I mean, you know, it's like the guy who has a vengeance for somebody all his life, and he finally carries it out and kills his adversary. Now his life has no more purpose because he's exercised the reason for his whole focus. And that's exactly what they're headed toward. It's actually a sickness because it's not thought out at all. It's an impulsive perversion that they're pursuing.
Yeah, I agree. Or an obsession. An obsessive-compulsive disorder, wouldn't you say? This addiction to evil and darkness and secrecy and destruction. You know, it's all... We've talked about this so much, Jim. And here's another event that we have to talk about. there's an unending stream of these events. Not too long ago, we were talking about Fort Hood. And I exposed much of that, what was going on, certainly the character that was declared to be the shootist in that event, had direct ties to the mind control program of MK Ultra. Right there at Blacksburg, Virginia. And the fact that they say that he was going to be deployed to Afghanistan, hey, guess what? I was right. He wasn't. They didn't. You know? They just make these stories up, and everybody's supposed to swallow it hook, line, and sinker. Take the bait and go whichever way the rod pulls you. Don't worry about if they're going to reel you in. They're happy if you just bite the bait. And then we had this Blackwater related thing, this American police force trying to take over the prison in Hardin, Montana. You remember that? And we had the swine flu pandemic and the vaccines. And we exposed all of this. We exposed all of this banking corruption, and still the mainstream media has not latched onto it. Now, there was supposed to have been a Dateline NBC show this evening. I don't watch TV, so I have to say that I didn't catch that show. But there is a $3.87 trillion lawsuit alleged to be filed against the SEC over a big banking scandal, or a big investment scandal, and again, it involves the Bush family. It's just unending, and I wrote about Bush back in 2007. I wrote about him. Those articles are on my website. I wrote about him, told everybody who he was, and certainly his actions are making me look like a prophet. But I guess people don't seem to care. Certainly the U.S. Justice Department doesn't seem to care. They've agreed now that that politicians can receive as much money as any corporation will give them for their election campaigns. And
how convenient.
Yeah. And aren't you sick of hearing the names of corporations? Aren't you sick of watching a football game and hearing the corporation's name as the stadium and the sponsor of the program? Program being the key word there.
Yeah.
It's so blatantly obvious what's going on. And the long-legged Mac Daddy came to a community college today in my area and gave a speech, and I heard a cut of that, a little snippet of it on a radio talk show. And he's, yeah, we have to create jobs. And listening to him, it was like listening to somebody just delivering their NLP programming to the people. It's like listening to the programmed individual talk to the ones he wants to program. And just lies coming out of his mouth. Because I know what's going on behind the scenes. It was all lies. And then after he was done speaking on this news snippet, then they said there were another 17,000 some people in Ohio just very recently that are out of work. But you hear their story, oh, the economy's turning around, we're creating jobs. If that's the case, then why are more people out of work? Why are more people losing their homes? See, it's so simple to compare what they're saying to what's actually going on, and you can see. One can only deduce that they're lying. And if they're lying about that, they've got to be lying about all the stuff that they're not telling us, too. You know. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, no, that's fine. The other thing that you mentioned in the opening situation I've also heard about, and I'm bewildered about that as well. I mean, I can understand that they might have some reasons for pulling the plug and taking Obama out right now. But I think that if they do that, they're really tipping their hand, especially if miraculously Hillary Clinton is suddenly at the helm, God forbid. But, you know, I don't think that that will go over well. My gut feeling is that if that is actually pulled off, it will work against them rather than for them. First of all, it would be most interesting to just ask the question, what the heck are they going to do with Obama? What are they going to say? What do? He disappeared? You know, what would be the reason for that, unless they really take him out?
Yeah, so supposedly there is some sealed information that the NSA is holding on to that can implicate Biden and possibly Obama. Certainly, just on constitutional issues, he should have never been even allowed to be in the election campaign. I mean, that is a sign of how corrupt the Congress and the Senate are. They're not doing their job. They're not doing what they were voted in, those that were actually voted in. But how, you know, in my research, Jim, I speculate that it's been at least 100 years since, maybe even longer, since there's been an honest election. There maybe never was an honest election. Just what we were told. You know, I remember the primaries, the campaigning for the primaries, when each political party had like the stable of 12 candidates. I'm sure you remember that. And there were videos coming out of the state of Texas where one guy voted 80 times at this primary. They filmed him for 20 minutes. And the guy got nervous after a while, was looking around at the camera, you know, looking behind his back, turning this way and that way, wondering who's looking at him. But he just kept punching the tickets. He'd finish one ballot and he'd go to the next one, and nobody stopped him from doing that. It was being filmed. No one stopped him from doing that. It's appalling. But that it's on the internet, it's not supposed to be real. You cannot open the sleaziest pages of the internet without seeing Obama's picture at the top or on the side of there. That the programming, the subliminal programming, is so intense that they have to put this face there over and over and over and over again. Like, somehow that's going to make you accept his being here? Or being in the position? Go ahead.
It has the exact opposite effect on me.
Well, me too.
I mean, it really makes me wonder how the heck this stuff works on the minds that it does affect. Because I wouldn't go so far as to say I'm non-programmable. I think under the right conditions, probably anybody is. But in the norm of the way we live, I just don't understand how so many people have been sucked into all of this. It's difficult for me to realize that it's that effective.
Well, I think to a large extent, I think the media picks up the slack for where the people themselves are not speaking. I mean, there are several hundred million, 200 million at least, maybe 250 million, 275 million people in this country alone that are totally oblivious to the whole thing, whether they go on the internet or whether they watch mainstream TV or read the newspapers or the magazines. They're oblivious. They could care less one way or another. And even if it came out on mainstream, and if they presented this instead of the national anthem at a football game or a basketball game or a baseball game, if they ran down a list of all the crimes being committed by the government, it would go in one ear and out the other with most people.
Oh, if they did it at a football game, I can already tell you what would happen. The people would start to get ticked off that they were listening to this drivel instead of allowing the game to commence.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure of that.
Yeah. So they're relying on that, and that anything that does come out in the alternative media can be countered by their control of the mainstream media. Those that are actually paying attention are getting a full dose of propaganda, unless they've come up with alternative means of getting information. And let us not leave discernment out of the picture either. Because regardless of what they say in the mainstream or the alternative media, everyone still has at their disposal their God-given discernment. Whether they use it or not is a totally different story.
That's for sure.
So, and then, you know, we're experiencing around this country, and I know in other parts of the world they're having these problems too, very strange amounts of snowfall. Okay, Utah, I understand, in certain areas of the northwestern United States right now are experiencing a blizzard. And you've got violent storms, 5 tornadoes today in California.
Yeah. And torrential rains that have been going on for days.
Mm-hmm.
Also in California. I was just talking to a friend of mine who actually held the phone up to the window so I could hear it. And it was just unbelievable. It sounded like a roar of a waterfall. Of course, the streets do need a good scrubbing.
Yeah, now this on the heels of all these earthquakes that they've been reporting from Monterey all the way to the Solomon Islands. Very unusual earthquakes, by the way, like the one in Haiti. Of course, we're not hearing about that in the mainstream, so what's the reason for that? Why aren't they reporting that?
Well, it's interesting to bring that up. I've been reading a book lately. It's called Technology of the Gods. And essentially, it goes back through history as far as we can go and looks at the various accomplishments of ancient peoples on Earth and sheds light on the fact that actually there's been a lot of stuff going on, you know, long, long before our recognized science says that it should have been going on.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes into the details, you know, of various technologies like mining, for instance, that was one, and the use of electrical power and the use of power tools and all this kind of stuff. But one of the things that's interesting, toward the very end of the book, there are some excerpts from the readings of Edgar Cayce on the subject of Atlantis. And the reason that they're in there, of course, is to just include his comments on the type of technologies that existed in that era. But the interesting thing is that in the course of presenting that material, he includes readings where Cayce touches upon the reason for Atlantis's demise. And there's got to be at least 5 readings that talk about the fact that in their insane desire to subjugate the rest of the world, they started sending these beams of power or whatever they were playing with down through the earth to affect other nations around the world. And it wound up being one of the reasons that their own continent was destroyed. Now, I don't know how true that is. I mean, I can't verify it. A lot of Casey's readings make an awful lot of sense, particularly the medical stuff. But let's assume for a moment that it's true. It certainly raises some real interesting issues, because we all know that history has a tendency to repeat itself. And here you have the same attitude prevailing that was apparently prevailing back then. You have the advanced technologies at their disposal. And whatever games they're playing around the world for their twisted purposes are definitely having effects here at home. Now, how far do you think that can go? Maybe the United States is bigger than Atlantis was, but that doesn't mean that it's going to remain the way we recognize it now if something goes wrong with these plans. You know, the thing that amazes me is the arrogance, Don. Okay, so they've got some weapons that the rest of the world don't understand completely, and they're using them for their own twisted ends. But I'll bet you dimes to donuts that they don't understand the ramifications of everything that they do either. Because if you don't understand that the planet is a living being, and you don't understand how all of its components function, then you really can't say that you, with absolute certainty, that you know what's going to happen when you start launching these weapons all over the place.
Sure,
they do
agree.
It anyway. But yeah, they do it anyway.
Even polluting the water has an impact on the whole planet. And they're doing far, far more than just polluting the water. The depleted uranium that has been used in ammunition in Iraq and in Afghanistan just recently, who knows how long this has been going on, but the fallout of all of that depleted uranium, which has a half-life, what is it, 4.5 billion years? Is that the half-life?
I don't know what it is offhand, but it's a long time.
To the listeners out there that might be wondering what we're talking about, I mean, just the war itself and the destruction that occurs with bombs blowing up and you know, I suppose if it's happening on the surface, it's really not bad. You know, let's put some X's in the skies and let's cloud the skies up. Let's prevent the earth from receiving any sunlight. Let's prevent the people from seeing or receiving any sunlight so we can deprive them of vitamin D in the most natural form. Or we can stymie the growth of animals and crops. And to me, that makes no sense at all, other than your goal is to destroy the population of this planet. I was reading Brian Desborough's Blueprint for a Better World, and it was describing Victor Schauberger's findings, by the way. You and I have done some shows on Victor Schauberger, and Schauberger suggested that to prevent the natural bodies of water, particularly rivers and creeks and streams, from overheating, which is destructive to the environment. And we're not talking about global warming, per se. We're talking about the fact that certain types of clearing of the land causes the water to be unhealthy for life in it. And it grows bacteria, becomes destructive, it stymies the growth of the flora and the fauna, and as a result, the water becomes polluted, becomes unhealthy. He suggested 500 feet of forest on every side of every creek and river and stream all around the world, that to maintain the proper water temperatures, you needed 500 feet of forest on each bank of these waterways. What are they doing with all the trees and the forests? Clearing them out, knocking them down.
Oh, yeah.
You hear these political speeches once in a while. This group planted 10 trees. You know, give them a plaque or give them a trophy. Give them a prize. And I'm not saying that's not a worthy cause, but we should be out there planting millions and millions of trees if Schauberger was right. Certainly, they had to milk him for all of his knowledge before they made him sick enough to go home and die within 5 days of his return home, after keeping him longer than the agreed amount of time. You're familiar with that.
Yeah, I am. And, go ahead.
I was going to say we have a caller, but go ahead and respond before we take this call.
Well, I was going to say that actually happened right in Texas, which is not so far from where I am now. And it's just amazing some of the stuff that goes on in Texas.
Yeah.
But go ahead with the caller. That's probably more interesting than what I was going to say.
Well, we'll find out, won't we? Okay, Rodney from South Carolina, welcome to Evident Footprints. Comment or question?
Comment at the moment. Last night when you had Kenodachi on there, it was bad. We'll round it off. 35 degrees where I'm at. And we had a thunderstorm. Doesn't happen, Don. I'm a Barrett Jackson connoisseur. I love old cars. Can't afford a $100,000 old car, but I enjoy watching them. This year it has stormed in Arizona, in the Phoenix area, so bad, or wherever that thing is filmed from, and they were showing how bad it was storming. I thought that was the desert. Now, let me see here. Since the 29th of December, and all the way up to this point, and I've sent those to Ken, the one section of the photos of the chemtrails,
mm-hmm.
And then wasn't it interesting that all the chemtrails, and they were just laying them down really hard, right before the Haiti earthquake. Is there something I'm missing, guys? Your comment.
Go ahead, Jim. You want to comment?
Well, it's really an area that I'm not proficient to speak in, but one thing is for sure, and that is that there are too many coincidences. You know, one of the things you learn in mathematics quite early on is the way to utilize statistics to understand the validity of something, of some experimental data or whatever. And a lot of the stuff that's happening is in total violation of statistics. So even if you don't understand, let's say, the connection between chemtrails and bad weather or chemtrails and earthquakes, whatever it is they're doing, there's too many coincidences that are statistically off the map. And it doesn't take a whole lot of brains to notice that. All you got to do is be willing to say, hey, you know what? Things aren't working the way they used to. Things aren't right. I mean, you know, Don, how many times have you and I talked about, we're approximately the same age, how many times have we talked about the fact that the weather is absolutely different from the way it was when we were kids, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Now, you can see it. You can see the changes.
Let me add this to it. Earlier this last week, we went up into the 60s and one day hit 70. Doesn't happen under normal circumstances. Now we're back down to the 40s and 20s. But we're not messing with the weather, are we?
Well, we've always assumed that they are. So, you know, all you're doing is pointing the finger of guilt. It's very obvious that something's wrong. The whole weather system, you know, that we were used to is all botched up. And don't forget, those, the information that we have at our fingertips is primarily the result of what's going on here in our country. We don't really know what the weather patterns are doing elsewhere unless you take an active interest and look for it. So this could be just the tip of the iceberg. It could be a global effect for all we know.
What I have heard personally, Europe and China is having a very bad winter. How coincidence. And I don't believe in any coincidence. Anytime somebody starts reporting, well, there's some UFO activity over here, or there's some stuff over here, all of a sudden these planes just start laying the X patterns down back and forth and back and forth. You know what an eclipse looks like, lunar or the other one?
Sure.
Where during the day, it gets kind of weird looking. You can watch all the animals start moving around, kind of like, hey, it's time to go to bed. Well, at 1 o'clock, 12 o'clock in the afternoon, noon, I'm walking a dog, and I'm watching the chemtrails cover up the skies, and the birds and the animals are all acting weird. This has got to stop.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, but if we don't act in unison as a nation, and we just act as separate individuals who are concerned, like in your case and Don and me, there's very little that can be done. The only way that this can ever be terminated and have some kind of an intelligent return to normalcy is if the majority of the nation just puts their foot down and start off by giving Washington the enema that it needs.
Well, can I be the person first in line, and I want to be there for a very long time as the applicator of that?
It's going to be one of those old-fashioned ranch-style water pumps, you know, with the big handle.
Don, no. No, the old kind like my grandmother had. It's a giant bag hanging on a wall with a long hose. And I won't charge anybody for my time. And I want at least 6 months. At 12 hours a day doing it. That's my anger.
Yeah.
Well, the thing of it is, it's interesting that you should call in, because I'm always curious what the average listener is experiencing mentally when they listen to the comments that we make on this show and to some of the data that we produce. If you're angry, that's a good thing. But the real question is, how many of the rest of us are angry? Do you have any information to share in that regard about your fellow citizens in your state?
Yes, I do. And I've talked to several of them this last past warm week, which I was grateful for the thaw out. And they were of many different walks of life. Could be from a barber, could be from any walk of life. And we discussed 9/11, we discussed the weather, I pointed out the chemtrails, we discussed Haiti, and they all come to the same conclusion. You lie, you lie, you lie. You're doing this. It's all rigged. You have technology. You're screwing with us all. And we're sick and tired of being your slaves. And caution, look over your shoulder, because the snake's going to bite you.
Well, they have to bite themselves. They're the snake.
That's the point.
Yeah.
You give them enough rope, and what they're doing is they're doing this. I've talked to some people that, okay, my part of the country, many people think a lot of black people that walk around doing certain menial coat jobs, manual labor, are stupid. You, Don, and everybody listening, they're not. they pretend to be stupid. When you get to know them and we talk in the back and say, hey, what's the real truth? All of a sudden, that quote, little accent they carry, they speak as good of English as all of us. And I said, so what's the game? And they said, you have to play the game to survive. And I said, I'm learning. It's sick. They're all sick of it. And they're all trying to figure out how to learn what to do with it. Because this has changed. Earlier in your program, you said, what technologies do they have so far advanced for us? How fast can you grasp this? This stuff comes out faster and faster and faster. Technology that we have that we're using right now, and I'm looking at my best computer I can afford. It's a laptop. It's a little one. This is 1972 technology. What do they have in 2010?
Well, you know, that's a great question, Rodney, and I would respond to that with the usual response to the same question regardless of any time period. If we compartmentalize technology according to the date, we miss we fail to acknowledge a universal law or a universal truth that there is only now. That time is an illusion. And so the issue then becomes, once we understand that, then we free ourselves of time. It doesn't matter what technology they have. They have nothing compared to the power that we have. They really don't. They have nothing that manifests anything close to the power that we have as individuals or collectively. They can be destructive, but they can't be creative. Creating destruction is a null factor. It's a zero. Add a positive and a negative of the same equivalency and you get zero, right?
Yes.
Plus one and negative one is zero. They're zeros. Or in terms of karma and the Akashic record, they're negative for sure. They're just stacking up their debts to the universe, and they'll be held accountable. They are really the ones that lack the consciousness they profess to have, and the wisdom, and the elitism, and the wealth that they create is all done out of illusion. They don't just steal your money; they steal your power, unless you fail to acknowledge that. You recognize that that's what they do, and at that moment you've set yourself free, but you have to act upon that. So all the technology in the world unleashed against the world, for whatever reason they can come up with, is nothing compared to the power of God that is within us, each one of us. That's my response to what you said. And I think our solutions lie in that kind of thinking.
Absolutely. And what I'm hearing from the good people, a lot of them are just shocked with some of the stuff we talk about. Others are now asking me, where do I go find it? And you ought to know how I'm talking. You just know I'm going to tell them every place to go and look.
Yes.
They are waking up, gentlemen. They're waking up faster and faster and faster. First they have shock, then they have denial, and then they go, now I'm PO'd. Now where do I find out and how do I stop it? Or how do I at least get in the game?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the interesting thing is, to talk about getting in the game, you know, even though our system has been so bastardized that... It's almost unrecognizable. The fact of the matter is that there's enough of it left that it can still be used to win the game. And people have to start to realize that. Every one of those, I'm not even going to say what I'm thinking, every one of those individuals in Washington needs to be removed. Every one of them. I don't care, you know, there's no sense in drawing any lines. And if the people really want to do something, that's what they should think of. Let's use what's in place first, because that will make an enormous change right there. And then if they say, well, gee, who are we going to stick in there? You know what? Go back to the days of the colonial period in our country and do the same thing that was done then. You have a guy that you know is an honest, outstanding merchant who runs a decent business and has been good to the people for all the years he's been in there. Fine. Nominate him.
Absolutely.
You got a street cleaner that loves to see the street looking perfectly clean and does a good job? Good. Nominate him. There's no way in the world that you could botch it up any worse than it is now.
Can I add one thing to it?
Sure. And then we're going to have to let you go because we're running out of time here.
I understand. You must put one clause that cannot be removed. If you are caught on the take, in other words, me personally, you can't buy me. And they have tried. And trust me, they won't buy me. If you're caught, you're immediately dismissed, and you're going to be exploited to the point that you will be lucky if you can sweep the street. And there are no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's called, you get caught taken and looking the other way and going back to the old way, you're done for.
Well, we already have those laws in place. Ironically, they've created those laws. They've got RICO laws.
Why are they not enforcing them?
Well, when you put the fox in charge of guarding the hen house, what do you expect?
Then it's time to kill the fox.
Either that or at least trap the fox.
I like the other one, public hanging of the fox. Gentlemen, we must do something. God bless. I know your show's coming to an end. Thank you for my time, and thank you for everything that you're doing and you're teaching. And believe you me, I will spread how to get to you. And Don, when's your website going to be back up, and I'll listen on the air. God bless and good night.
Okay. My website is going up in increments. You got to understand it's a never-ending struggle, but it's getting up there. And for you listeners who are wondering about Canadachi's site, it is back online, by the way. I'm doing some reconstructive maintenance, and it's taking some time. And, of course, the Internet is slower than ever right now, too, so... It does take time. It's just a matter of time. That's it. So hopefully, as the days go on, there'll be more there for you to see. But there are some things there. Certainly, there's a lot of reading material. And next come all the archives. Well, Jim, there you go. You see, we're touching some nerves, obviously.
Well, that's a good thing, and I really enjoyed listening to this gentleman's comments, and I have some friends in his state, too, and in North Carolina as well, and they're all good people. The only problem with a lot of the folks in our country is that for whatever reason, maybe they're too tolerant. You know, they have long, slow fuses. And in matters of everyday life, that might be a good thing. But when our country is at stake, our way of life is at stake, and it can be traced to scum within our own borders, then we don't want a long fuse.
Yes,
or a short fuse.
Yes. Well, I had a comment, I can't even remember if it was last night or the night before. I think it was a couple of nights ago when Drew Raines was on the show. Drew had brought up the point that they were going to outlaw selling guns at the gun shows in the state of Texas. And the reason for that was because criminals were taking them over the border. These are illegal aliens are taking them over the border. into Central and South America. Now, have you ever heard anything so preposterous? The guns aren't the cause of the crime. It's the people they're letting sneak into the country. This is by design. Why can't we use common basic logic? Well, you know, why can't you apply the logic of a politician or the IQ of a politician? Doesn't take much.
That's for sure.
To see that. Well, Jim, we're out of time. It's been interesting as usual. And I want to wish you a great weekend. Hopefully we'll have something more positive to discuss next week, although we do have to expose these things and bring them out. It's not something to run away from and pretend or deny that it's going on. Much to their chagrin, they would prefer that we probably talk about pollen and and dandelions or clover. But unfortunately, we've got to talk about the creatures that slither amongst the pollen, the dandelions, and the clover. So I wish you a great weekend.
Same to you, Don. I appreciate it. And next week, we'll meet again.
Okay. All right. You have a great evening. Folks, you've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com, and tonight's special guest and co-host, Mr. Jim Murray. I also want to thank Windtalkers Radio Network and blogtalkradio.com for broadcasting this show at bbsradio.com. I'd like to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, Seth Hendrick on the sound, Rodney for his comments and call. Ken out there, thanks for the PDF. I'm going to be reading that and possibly doing a show on it this coming week, Ken. So much gratitude. And you, the listeners, for tuning in. I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light. Have a great weekend. True Watt will be my guest Monday night. In the meantime, have a good night.